Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for AMC's The Walking Dead. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And this week we're going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 6, entitled TS-19, also known as the episode where everyone loses hope. do we have any news this week?
It is late. It is almost
podcasting
midnight Eastern Standard Time. I'm a little loopy.
Yeah, so this might be a fun cast.
It's going to be a herp-derp kind of cast.
So that's a no on news, right?
No, there's no news.
Okay.
Actually, a trailer just dropped, but the thing is like...
Yeah, for season 2.5.
I'm not feeling talking about like current events in a post-cap, post-hoc recap.
Yeah, theoretically, the people who are listening to this haven't even seen 2.0.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're not really going to go into it.
Yeah, this is for posterity.
Yeah. We might do it in spoilers. That might be cool.
All right.
Okay, well, let's get right into the recap then. The first scene is basically a flashback of Shane trying to get Rick out of the hospital.
Yeah, shit's going down.
Yes, the zombie infection apparently has just taken over the hospital, I think.
Uh-huh.
You've got the military swooping in to basically put everyone down, it looks
like. I'd say it's just overran. I mean, we're hearing, like, goddamn air raid sirens going off.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently that the military is clued in enough at this point that they're headshotting.
Yeah, shoot him in the head.
Which, why, now, let me ask you this. Why were they rounding up a bunch of medical people and exterminating them, basically?
I think containment. Similar to why the CDC goes into decontamination mode and just blows everything up.
Well, just they didn't do a very effective sweep, it seems, of the hospital.
Yeah,
it's like,
because
if you're going to do that, then...
When they bust into Rick's room, we both noticed, why didn't they shoot Rick in the head?
I don't know.
Sees the thing blinking. He obviously knows he's alive. He looks right at Rick through his sights.
He's a prime zombie, man.
Yeah.
They're like trying to preserve his body for prime zombie shape.
Yeah.
They keep it pumped for fluids,
keep it
in fed so he's got good muscle tone. This is like the perfect storm of zombification.
Yeah, I didn't get why they didn't kill him. So
I gotta
thing,
say, I thought it was funny to look on Shane's face, man.
When
he sees like all the stuff that's hooked up the Rick.
Yeah.
Like for an idiot like Shane, it's like, oh God, I gotta work a Rubik's Cube to get my buddy out of here. We're both gonna die.
Yeah, screw it. I'll come back for him later. Do you think that was his plan to come back later?
No. I think he barricaded a door just so his friend's body wouldn't be disturbed. But I think that did a pretty good job of selling me. And I remember when I first saw this, I hated Shane.
Yeah.
When I first saw this, I thought, okay, well, maybe Shane's not as big a douchebag as I thought. I mean, maybe this wasn't a cynically orchestrated plot. Maybe he did have Rick's and his family's best interest in mind. Which is weird because they totally throw that, you know, slack away by the time this episode's over.
Sure.
The other thing is, I still, like, I know you're a big zombie fan. I'm openly skeptical that this zombie plague could actually overrun society because, like, they showed a squad of soldiers being overrun by zombies, and it just seemed like, you know, these guys are standing around, a door opens, it's like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh! And it's like ineffectual fire, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I would have done a better job, and I don't even have assault rifles and chemical weapons gear.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you're in that situation, and a zombie jumps through a door and bites your buddy, what do you do?
One squad guy's going to die, and the rest of zombies ought to be cut down in a hail of bullets.
Really? I mean, you're going to have the army or Marines or whoever these guys are murdering each other?
No, you don't have to shoot the dude that just got bit. But you do have to shoot the horde of zombies before they get to you and bite you, too.
Like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I understand what you're saying is, yeah, they're going to take the buddy and drag him behind lines, and he's going to turn into a zombie and then infect the whole base of armed Marines. It just... I don't know, man. I've always had a problem with how this thing jailbreaks into the larger civilization. Once the military gets involved, it seems like that would be game over.
Except, I mean, you have to think, okay, we're seeing like one hallway in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What is happening in all the other millions of hallways in Atlanta?
Actually, we're seeing one hallway in some bumfuck town in Kentucky. Point of fact.
Are we?
Yeah, remember?
Because he then travels to Atlanta.
Yeah,
that's
he's from like Cynthia, Kentucky.
Okay, so that's even worse. I mean, that's a small town. What happens when you go to a place like Atlanta?
This is the state of Raylan fucking Givens.
Exactly, my point.
He would put the Mac down on all the zombie stuff. Headshots? Yeah. This? Yeah. Are you kidding me? They should just give him an infinite supply of Berettas.
I want to see...
Like, the nation's resources should just be nothing but stamping out Berettas and 9mm ammunition for Raylan Givens. And
just let him go wild. Yeah. I actually want to see Jesse from Breaking Bad. I'd like to see him in a zombie situation.
Well, he's a pretty good headshotter.
Yeah, now he is.
Point blank range.
I'd like to see both versions of him. One at the beginning of the series and one near the end.
All right, we managed to whore out links to all of our other podcasts in one fell swoop. So
I want to see how Snooki would handle it.
No. She is undead. I have one other thing ask you. Because they showed this like kind of like grandpa. They had this zombie. I couldn't help but notice. Like as
what are you doing watching this show?
As Shane is this is like the fourth time I've seen this episode in like a month.
Yeah.
So as Shane is fleeing the scene, takes one last look down the hallway at these zombies that are kind of shuffling towards him, and one of them is like this geriatric 85-year-old man with his belt hiked up to like an inch below his nipples.
Okay,
and he's kind of got the weird old man posture, but he's a zombie. And I'm like, okay. So what happens if like a nursing home got infected? Because
old zombies.
80-year-old man with a broken hip can't get out of a chair anyway. He's a zombie. He can't get out of a chair, right? Or would that zombification overpower his old manitude?
I'm pretty sure you get super strength along with the zombiness.
So
well, it's not that you get super strength. Here's the way I see it working. Is that zombies are a lot like honey badger. They just don't care. So like you get pain when you're an old person that keeps you from wanting to walk around. Zombies don't care about pain. Zombies are coming at you to eat your brains. They don't care if they get shot. They don't care about a broken hip. They're just going to come at you.
So a human that has like Parkinson's disease and they're like shaken and all that kind of stuff, come back as a zombie? They still got Parkinson's, right?
Well, I don't know because
the zombie virus is using the same neural motor path. They kind of like...
Yeah, but it's not using all of them, right? It's using... maybe Parkinson's is a different scenario because it affects motor skills.
So we only use 10% of the human brain. The zombie virus just like remaps it. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying it uses less. So the stuff that like might normally affect like weird parts of your brain that might normally affect movement or something might not be active.
I thought Parkinson's was something that actually would infect the brainstem and the actual nerves, not necessarily higher brain functions. But you might be right.
I mean, I'm obviously not a doctor.
No.
I'm doing a podcast about zombies. Come on.
I wonder if he listens from the Breaking Bad cast. Well, you need to ask him his learned opinion on zombie necrotization of neural pathways.
Yeah.
Someone more educated than it's a myth that we only use 10% of the brain. Yeah. So I don't want an email on that. I'm just being funny.
All right. We've spent
and if you didn't know that, bing, I just educated you.
We spent a ton of time BSing, but I do have one more question about this scene that's kind of important. So when Shane comes into the room, I noticed that the flowers are pretty good looking. They're not too wilted yet. So that to me says he was there a couple days to maybe a week earlier to drop off those flowers. What is the timeline like here?
Man, I don't know because I got someone flowers like 2 weeks ago and I was just there and they're still going strong.
Really?
Now, if you get those things fresh cut and flower food in the water, who knows how long they could last?
Yeah,
now,
so it's been 3 months.
Did anyone, fresh cut and flower food those things?
Yeah. Does anyone at the hospital care enough?
It seems like, you know, you've got anywhere between several days to several weeks of flower time. And again, the most useful barometer we can have of this total zombification is what Jenner said the previous episode, that it's been 60-some days. And actually, you know what would be cool? I don't think anyone's done this. We should make an article on our site about like a...
Analyzing the timeline. Yeah.
And like try to fit the pieces that we see in the flashbacks as best as we can with clues and get the listeners going. I mean, I don't know if it'd be useful, but it'd be fun.
Yeah, certainly. We'll try to set that up.
Or maybe I'll search to see if such a thing already exists.
Good idea.
Anyway.
So moving on. Next scene. Jenner welcomes the group to the CDC with a rifle and a blood test.
Yep.
He's got an M16 or
That's
something
how
over there.
I greet my house guests.
Yeah.
You will submit to a blood test, and once this door closes, it will not open. I don't get a lot of house guests.
No, I can imagine.
You're pretty much the only one, and you have been here a long time.
Yeah, so. Well, I don't want to retake the blood test, I don't leave.
And again, the door doesn't open.
Yeah, that's true. So. But I really like the actor who plays Jenner. I mean, he has a sort of like gravitas. He seems like he could be a scientist.
Agreed.
So well done on the actor who plays him. I don't know his name. Can you look that up?
I will.
While you're doing that, I'm going to drop some knowledge on the audience. Edward Jenner, I think this guy's name is like Edwin or something, but Edward Jenner is the name of the guy who created the first vaccine. So that's a little interesting information, a little homage there.
Huh.
But that's all I have on that scene. They bust in and get all weepy and say, hey, thanks for letting us in and stuff like that.
Noah Emmerich.
Or is it Emmerich, Roland?
He was he rose to prominence, the starring roles in the cult hit Beautiful Girls and Jim Carrey blockbuster The Truman Show. He played his best friend.
Yeah,
that's
he did.
Where I've seen him from.
Yep.
So he's got a couple other things, but that's the one I think I've actually seen him from the most. So,
moving on, the dinner party happens, and everyone is super excited to have shelter, basically, and Shane tries to ruin it, as he does most things. So Jenner kind of explains here that basically everyone just kind of left the CDC or tried to kill themselves, and he was the last one left. And I was just thinking, man, aren't these guys supposed to be like scientists? Aren't they supposed to have some sort of sense of responsibility here?
Well, I'm guessing
when they're the only ones who can try to cure this thing.
There again,
everyone's just blowing their heads off and going home.
Yeah, it seems like as the CDC would do a little bit better job. I mean. Yeah. Especially since it looks like some people working relatively on their own were so close. People were like, fuck this! You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I think if you're at the CDC, this shit, you live for this shit.
Yeah, and you couldn't be more secure, right?
Not, you're right.
And this is a fortress.
Like, bring your family there.
Sure.
Miss Pac-Man, for God's sake. The kids will have fun.
Yeah, and trivia challenge.
Uh-huh.
I saw that.
I also got to point out that Lori is such a stick-in-the-mud goddamn mother.
Mm-hmm.
Here, she's trying to keep
Carl
Jr. She's trying to keep Carl from drinking wine.
Yeah.
Like, if we ever get our, you know, if we ever visit undead France and he can have some undead wine. I just think it's hilarious that she's almost two or three times a season, she's averaging, you know, making him do his schoolwork, cutting his freaking hair.
Mm-hmm.
Make it, you know, keeping him from drinking wine. I mean,
or letting him go off to be killed somewhere.
The end of civilization, lady.
Yeah,
loosen up a bit.
Yeah,
the age of innocence is gone.
Plus,
right?
You know, if this is the kid's first drink of wine, he's not going to like it anyway.
That's the thing. It's like my kid. He wants to take a sip of beer. I'm like, knock yourself out. And he's like, this tastes like poison. I'm like, that's right.
Yeah, kids hate that. I hated it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So
father of the year here. Anyway,
horrible mother of the year apparently. Next scene, Jenner gives a tour of the facility and tells everyone not to waste the hot water, which they immediately do.
Right.
Every single one of them.
Orgy. I mean, this
A literal hot water orgy. Rick and Lori are screwing in the shower.
It's like a body wash commercial. I've never seen people that weren't paid to enjoy a shower so much. Until we get to the of Shane and Andrea.
Yeah, they're not too happy about it.
Yeah. Andrea's taking a nice catatonic shower.
Yeah.
Shane's taking a shower of regrets.
I do have to say that I really felt their joy in this scene. Because if you can imagine being out there in that world and then coming indoors where you know everything is safe. Everything is safe. That has to be such an epic feeling of security and a sense of relief.
Yes.
That I love that scene.
Yeah, I want to mention that too because it reminded me in the first pilot episode when he takes I always forget this dude's name, the guy he's talking to on the CB.
Morgan
and his son to the jailhouse or to the sheriff's department. There's hot water and like just a simple pleasure of taking a hot shower.
Yeah.
And I've been on camping trips where it's been a while and it does feel so good. If it's been days, weeks, and there's been zombies after me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they did a really good job of showing just a simple human pleasure of comfort and warmth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And security. So moving on, Andrea mourns the end of the world and the loss of her sister. Basically, she's crying, and Dale comes up, and she's actually puking into the toilet. You think that was from the wine, or more just from grief?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Well, not just grief, but just being. I think she took Jenner's. While everyone else is kind of just overdosing or getting high on the comfort, she's actually focusing on what he's saying, which is the people that are supposed to fix this problem are dead and gone, and no one's fixing it.
Yeah, it's kind of fitting that the two seemingly most pragmatic people in this series are both taking it very hard.
Right.
You know.
The next scene, Rick takes the opportunity that I think it feels like he gives this speech like three different times. He's given it to Jenner. He gives it to, Herschel, but it's all about, you don't
who?
Know.
Who? I don't Herschel. Know a Herschel. Who's a Herschel?
It's not a spoiler. It's just a dude.
All right.
It's a dude. A dude can't be a spoiler.
All right. Herschel.
Anyway, Herschel, the guy who invents the chocolate candy, milk chocolate candy. He always gives a speech like, you don't know what it's like out there to someone that is sitting in a position where they don't know what it's like.
Yeah.
I think, and he gives it almost identically. Any thoughts on that, Jim?
I mean, Jenner really doesn't know what it's like, right? He never went out, apparently.
Right, but
he stayed indoors.
At this point, I understand why he gave it to
Jenner.
Well, no, the other guy, because, but he's not being... Jenner's not trying to evict him. He's not trying to hassle him. Like, Rick's like, you got to
understand. That's true.
You have to understand what it's like out there. And I'm like...
I think... that's his way of thanking Jenner, right? He's, like, trying to impress how much it means to him that he let him in.
But Jenner's seen some shit, too, man. I mean, the whole place is,
The thing with his wife.
Well, they don't know about that yet. But
that's true.
What he just told him seems pretty horrific. All your coworkers taking turns suiciding, and
I don't know. When I had a office job, I wouldn't have thought that was so bad.
Yeah,
some of them.
Philharmonic.
Not going there. So the next scene, Shane is attempting to explain to Lori basically why he thought Rick was dead, and then he attempts to rape her. Of course.
Yeah.
And a lot of people forget how intense and disturbing this scene is, I think. Because this, to me, is one of the more disturbing scenes. There's gore everywhere, but this part is really disturbing to me. The way Shane is acting, the sense of ownership he feels for Lori and her kid.
From the very beginning, like, you're gonna I gotta say some things to you, and you're gonna listen to them.
Yeah.
It rubbed me the wrong way from the beginning, and then he actually tries to physically force herself, and she's in a vulnerable state.
Yeah.
As you pointed out, she's not wearing any pants in a public area for some reason.
Just roll around, no pants.
And it's too bad Rick was explaining, why Jenner doesn't know what it's like out there, because his wife is getting raped by his buddy.
Yeah, horrible, horrible scene.
And I don't understand.
People seem to let that go. I don't get it.
Yeah, I think... I still to this day, when we get feedback where a fan tries to kind of, I'm going to say justify, but explain why it happens. Like, no, I get why it happens. It still doesn't make me cool, and it doesn't make me like Shane anymore. And I also think that, I don't understand why the writers took, it looks like, a great pains in this flashback to make Shane seem like a more sympathetic, dutiful friend. And then, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to give Shane a clean slate. And then he tries to... Do you think that they minimized the impact that this would have with the fans, or they didn't get it themselves? Or... I mean, we've talked about AMC being misogynist, but this is pretty...
Yeah, well,
thinking that this is understandable behavior, that's, like, beyond the pale, in my opinion.
I don't know. Honestly, we talk a lot about how Shane has flip-flopped as a character so many times. We feel... like he got the short end of the stick in a lot of ways, and we also feel like he's a huge asshole in a lot of other ways. But so I really don't know what they're going for here. It's schizophrenic. That character to me has no center yet. Is that all you had to say about that scene?
Yes.
Okay.
It ends with Lori doing an effective throat rip on Shane.
Yeah. So then we move to breakfast the next morning.
Well, we did skip kind of Rick rolling around.
Rick roll. I'm going to Rick roll our audience.
Rick roll Lori. rolling around in bed with Lori, trying to give her this like, hey, we don't have to be any afraid anymore. We're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was pretty not funny, but ironic considering she just got assaulted. Because she's sobbing. He doesn't understand why. And he's like, no, Lori, we're safe. There are no rapists here, Lori. I'm an officer. I've secured the premise. I just thought it was hilarious.
Oh, man.
Especially Andrew Lincoln. What's the opposite of a ward? Because his accent in this particular episode when he was trying to play drunk Southerner was horrible. Horrifying.
Yeah, it's not particularly good.
Especially since I'm coming from Justified and they have really good Southern accents. Yeah. These people are hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in Justified is British.
It's killing me. It's killing me!
So then we go to breakfast the next morning and... basically, everybody's hungover. Glenn is in rough shape.
Glenn looks like he's about to be patient TS-20 and jump in the cat's can.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on death's door.
So I thought that was pretty funny. Now, I never understand this. They're talking across the table, and Rick says something, and then Shane makes some offhanded comment and looks directly at Lori. And I never understand why this works in TV. People don't notice his... obvious stare at a person when he says something telling.
Right. Like, nobody... In real life, people are actually looking at this exchange and like, whoa, that was a moment that just happened.
Yeah, what is going on there? Right. Something weird just happened.
Right.
No one says anything here.
You think Dale would be there? Like, I would have loved it if they panned that to Dale and he's looking at him like horrified, like, Jesus, you know?
That could have actually worked, I think.
Yeah. Well, and it actually would have played in with the way they're developing.
Exactly.
Dale's kind of like, I'm on to you, boy.
Yeah.
Routine.
But I don't know. Basically, I don't remember exactly what happens in the scene, what they talk about. It seemed inconsequential.
I mean, everybody commented on Shane's wound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he plays it off. And,
he did in his sleep. How do you do that in your sleep?
Right.
He sleeps on a bed of nails.
Well, I mean, I guess people would have violent dreams, maybe.
He sleeps with a bear, a grizzly bear.
He's like, I got lonely and I tried to force myself on Jenner. He didn't take too kindly.
No, your Shane's not quite
My
as good
Shane's
as your
not
Rick.
So good. No, I have a good read on Shane.
All right, let's move on then. So here's a big scene.
It's like this is a really cool scene.
Yeah. This is one of the better scenes in the show. Jenner basically explains how the infection works to everybody. He shows the animation.
It's basically the credit sequence, opening credit sequence of Spider-Man. And I'm like, I was, okay. I was like, what is it? Tobey Maguire?
Yeah. TM19.
Produced by Ari. What? Anyway.
Yeah. So, basically he says, hey, this is how the infection works. And I don't know if it's significant or not, but Jenner calls what happens after they die a resurrection rather than like a reanimation or anything. Because to me, it's more of a reanimation. It's not necessarily a resurrection because the whole brain doesn't come back, you know?
Right.
Although, but I wonder if he has more knowledge. Maybe that's what he's whispering to Rick.
That it's, it
Here's
is
why a, I call it all, a resurrection.
It's all the wrath of God.
It's all Jesus.
But this is probably the most science-y the show gets with, you know, they talk that it spreads like meningitis. Mm-hmm, so it's like, you know, go ahead.
I think it was much needed at this point, right? We want some information, even this little dribble of information.
Yeah, it's like that it can happen. This is going to be good for dramatic possibilities later, that they've documented it happening in as little as 3 minutes. It sometimes takes as long as 8 hours. So basically the show can make it as long as they fucking need to be dramatically appropriate. And I'm sure they're going to play with that before the series is over.
Oh, for sure.
They also make it very clear that the human part doesn't come back. Although I thought it was interesting in the... when the brain got restarted, there was like little kind of like shots fired into the cerebellum.
Which
explains why maybe the zombies do have a little bit of functional awareness of who they used to be and their surroundings, because it's not, you know, it's almost like they're in a walking coma, but every once in a while synapse fires and it's like, oh, there, I recognize that.
Yeah.
Don't know what to do what with it. Doing? I'm just kind of drawn to it. You know?
Why am I eating these people's brains?
Yeah.
I used to
hate brain.
The other thing that I thought was significant is the Jenner has not had any communication with anybody for almost a month here. So we know that it's been a while since even the CDC and the French, as he says later, who were the last people working on this problem, have gone dark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a while that he's been underground.
Right. And so the end of the video climaxes with the, you know, person starting to strain and be like a zombie, and then he obviously, the patient's terminated the bullet.
Yeah.
And I thought Andrew kind of like blew him shit for this. Like, you shot your patient. And I'm like, well, you shot your sister, bitch.
Yeah. Are yeah. Gonna, how is that any different?
Well, is he supposed to just keep her clamped there and, you know, making zombie brain porn?
I don't know, man.
There's no internet left to show it. I mean, come on.
That's messed up.
Brazzers.
I love Daryl's reaction to just everything in this episode. His immediate reaction is to either start drinking or killing people. Like, here he's like, oh, man, I'm going to have to get drunk again.
Right, right. Or, yeah, he basically drinks or shoots.
Yeah.
Or stabs anything that's in his way, including steel doors.
Yep.
The other thing we got a little bit more dribble is that before the world stopped working, no one was really close to finding a cure. The closest were the French, and then they ran out of power just like they're about to. So we don't, unlike, you know, things like, what was that, the I Am Legend, there is no, like, enclave of humanity mm-hmm. that can, you know, even make a useful, make use of a cure if they had one, and there's no one that really has one.
And I think that was a major point of this episode, is to really drill into the audience's head that this is it. They are not going to find a cure for this.
Yeah, it's a survival mode from this point forward. Yep. Wait for it to burn out if you can.
Yep. Moving on. Rick and Shane and T-Dog and Glenn all go down to the basement to do what exactly?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, first of all, did you ever talk about the Dale is the one asked about the clock?
He's the one. Yeah, Dale did ask about the countdown clock.
And you made an interesting point that he is the one. It seems like Dale is the one concerned with time. He's the one that gave the speech about the
ass watch.
Yeah. And now he's the one that notices the clock pointing down. Do you think that'll be continue to be a character trait?
I don't know. I don't really see a significance to it. It was just something I was like, you're obsessed with time, old man.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
But I will say that, yes, they did have a scene where they went down to the basement, spent 5 minutes verifying what Jenner just already told us.
Yeah, we're about to run out of power.
And that Lori and them confirm moments later that, yes, we've run out of power and air conditioning and lights and stuff are shutting off. So mm-hmm. I thought there was a lot of wasted time. I don't know what else they'd use it for, but I didn't understand what they were thinking when they're like, "Oh, we need a frantic search for empty barrels in a basement."
I feel like
a bunch of minor characters coming in from all sides saying, "Yep, in this area too, there's no all the generators are dead."
yeah.
What do you think, Glenn? Yep, I checked in this quadrant. No generators.
All the fuel's gone too. Yeah. I feel like this was basically them saying, "Okay, it would seem a little too weird for Dale to look up at the clock at exactly 30 minutes and for everything to start shutting
exactly
down."
Exactly an hour.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it would be weird if he looked up and it was exactly shutting down time.
Right.
But we need them to do something in the 30 minutes that it takes to get there.
Right.
So what are we going to have him do? We're just going to have him putz around. So I just felt like they didn't know what to do at that point.
Right. I mean, it doesn't feel like the episode was compressed, you know, and needed to cut. It just seems like they could have trimmed that and maybe made the opening scene with Shane a little bit more dramatic. Or spent some more time talking about the details of this. I think maybe they deliberately didn't do that because they don't want to, you know, cuff themselves or paint themselves in a corner with the rules of the universe too much. But anyway. I also thought it was an interesting reversal when the doctor's talking about how the French were the last to surrender. What a reversal. Viva la France. Americans are pussing out and blowing their heads off, and the French are there buckling down.
I hope we don't have any French listeners. I hope we didn't. I hope we didn't.
Hey, man.
Yeah, but you're playing on
just
the reputation
the 20th
of being surrenders.
You're a bunch of rifle-dropping surrender monkeys. I appreciate in a 21st century zombie apocalypse, you buttoned down and did what needed to be done.
The comments of A. Ron Hubbard are not necessarily the
comments
bullshit. Of
Jim I'm half Jabal Move. It's half me. Send it all to me.
The comments of
A.
Ron Hubbard are only 50%. All right, let's move on.
Doors closed.
Yeah, doors closed. Well, Jenner weeps first. Jenner weeps over his wife, a picture of his wife.
It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jenner weeps.
Jenner weeps. So, and he's got like his Sunday best on too. He's wearing a tie.
That
he's all
sense.
Dressed up.
Yeah.
He's got his lab coat on. And then he locks everybody inside.
Because he knows he's about to deliver some ridiculous dialogue, and he wanted a tie to kind of carry his presence to carry today.
Sure, sure. If he was in a hoodie, no, not buying it.
He'd look like a homeless. He'd just be a homeless man screaming stuff.
Yeah. We don't even think you know how to run this facility.
Right.
So, of course, Daryl's reaction to being locked in is his usual. Immediately try to kill someone.
Right.
With an axe, which would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, he comes at him with the bottle, doesn't he? He's going to smash the bottle on his head. Then later he gets the axe.
Yeah.
Goes at him again.
He makes multiple attempts to kill Jenner in this
episode. He does.
And then Shane gets into act. That was pretty funny.
Yep.
But also because people are like, what the hell is going on here? And then Jenner, you know, he goes into crazy homeless guy mode. And he's like, you understand. We work with very nasty stuff.
Stuff you do not want to get out.
Weaponized.
Ever.
Smallpox. Ebola. Virus. There once was a man from Nantucket.
Teletubbies.
He's just like shouting three-syllable phrases.
Yeah.
And putting the emphasis on the last one. I thought it was hilarious.
It's like
very
a shouting
funny.
Monotone. It's weird.
Right. But there's always like, it's like a tone poem, man. He's like a beat poet, only he's screaming about scientific terms. And this struck me as funny the very first time I saw it, too. It's like, the director like was cool with this approach.
I don't know. I kind of see it working a little bit.
If he was going to go that far, I think he needed to go a little bit further and just completely come unhinged and rage. Where this was like he was a little bit, but maybe that's his character. I mean, this is a scientist. This is as fucking crazy as he gets.
Yeah. I could see that. So I don't have a whole lot more to say on that scene. They try to bust out. They're hitting the door with, you know, axes and. Did they shoot it? I don't think they shoot it.
No, I thought they did.
They just hit it with axes.
Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't try shooting it now that I come to think of it.
Yeah, they shoot the window later. But
and Shane wastes, like, millions of dollars worth of computer equipment with the shotgun. Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, I hope that's not the computer that unlocks the doors. Because we might need that.
Right.
So, moving on. Jenner basically reveals that TS-19 was his wife. And they eventually convince him to let them out in kind of a longish scene here where Shane does attack him.
I don't think this is a spoiler, but his whole speech here is basically Lori's POV for season 2. She's actually kind of giving the justification for why they should be allowed to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And in season 2, she pretty much reverses herself and goes into full-blown Jenner mode.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
Why? I mean, we talked a lot about that in the podcast. I just thought it was interesting. Do you think that's a deliberate kind of brain bug that they infected her with? Or do you think it was...
I think it's just a culmination of everything she's seen. You know, I mean, when she's here, she's seeing, oh my goodness, there are still places, pockets that are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Jenner totally shatters that and then kind of sends her into a spiral, I think.
I thought it was interesting, Rick, you know, his let us keep going for as long as we can. That's basically the plot of the whole show. That's the subtitle, the context.
Yeah.
There is no cure. There's no normality. We're going to just try to keep going as long as we can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in the comics, like, you know, they're obviously way far ahead of where the TV show is, but that's pretty much, you know, what they're trying to do.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing I love in this scene is... Of course, again, Daryl is my favorite character, man. Uh-huh. His uncontrollable rage when he tells him that the door's built to withstand a rocket launcher. Mm-hmm. He's like, your head ain't! And he comes out with the axe. I love
it. It was not designed. Well, your head ain't! That's so funny because sometimes the dumbest people, and I'm not saying Daryl's necessarily dumb, but at this point in the series, we're meant to believe he is. Sometimes the dumbest people have the best smack as far as, like, you know, shutting people the fuck up.
Well, that's your mom joke is the classic, right? Like, back when that was still a thing.
I've just always been impressed that, like, when it's go time, sometimes these people that you think are mouth-breathing idiots come up with brilliant shit.
Yeah.
Yo, head ain't.
Moving on.
Are we ready to talk about the infamous whisper?
Are we? I think because they're about to leave, right?
That's what I got, right?
Jenner opens the doors. They convince him to. Mm-hmm. And everybody's about to leave. and he grabs Rick and says something in his ear.
Right. What do we want to? Should we talk about that in the spoiler section? Or I feel like this is the end of season one. I almost feel like there are at this point. Go ahead and talk about whatever. It's safe to say that. No, and really not, because it's
we know a lot more now.
It's a huge cliffhanger, and maybe we'll talk about it in the spoilers. Let's talk about let's kick it to the spoilers. I'm gonna bold it,
all right,
and we'll talk about it.
So then Dale tries to convince Andrea, or he does convince Andrea not to stay behind, while the rest of the group tries to get out.
Andrea pretty clearly thinks that that's basically Dale pulling something. What do you think? I'm kind of on the Dale side of this camp.
I am too, because there's really, as far as Dale can see, not a reason for her to stay. Like, well, I mean, her sister's dead, but she's still got the people around her.
Do you think if it got down to 30 seconds, Dale would have been like, all right, you called my bluff, I'm out of here?
No. Well, no, then, I think
then
Dale was in it.
He's not pulling something. He's like, I don't want to live if you're dying.
Yeah.
Which, that puts his death on Andrea, but that's legit.
Sure,
I mean, that's a choice he was making, just like she was making a choice. So it really annoyed me. To see her kind of like bitch facing him at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
you know, and saying, don't do this to me, Dale. Well, fuck you. You're doing this to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of survivors. So if you're making an arguably selfish choice, how is he any more or less selfish than you are? I'm saying arguably.
No, I'm with you there.
Honestly, I can't criticize a choice to commit suicide in this environment.
Sure. It's a pretty harsh environment.
It seems like just like if you are in the top floors of the Twin Towers on 9/11 and jumping through the sidewalk, don't think that's exactly giving up, you know?
Sure, sure, sure.
That's taking ownership of your life and saying, all right, I'm going to end it on my terms in as best way as I possibly can. And going by, thermobaric fuel air explosion compared to being gnawed on by zombies, not bad.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And so, then you don't have to come back as a zombie.
Right. So I kind of see their point, and I just thought it was weird that Andrea is allowed and Dale doesn't ever try to make the contrary point. Like, look, this, how can you hold this against me when
you're doing the same thing?
Yeah. We're just making choices.
Yeah.
You said I took your choice away from you. You took my choice away from me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
But I did like Dale's performance in this scene. I felt like he genuinely cared for Andrea and genuinely didn't want to live if she wasn't going to be there.
Jenner's weird shouting and Andrea Lincoln's horrible accent aside, this was a really well-acted episode. I don't think we said enough about between Shane and Lori.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really, I mean, one of the reasons that worked so viscerally is because they sold it.
Yeah.
And the scene at the end, even people I don't really necessarily care about, like Jenner and Jackie, they made me feel a little something in their deaths.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And especially the fact that Jenner sees them get out of the facility and he knows that there is some hope for humanity.
Uh-huh.
I, that registers on his face, and it really felt powerful. Just.
Yeah,
because
he
didn't really show much.
He's like, well, I'm going to open the door, but you're still fucked.
Yeah.
And when they're able to get out, I do think you're right that that's like, well, they, you know, life kind of, Jurassic Park, and life found the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe the female Tyrannosaurus will start breeding.
There you go.
The French will find a cure. And
Ian Malcolm will show up. Yep. Jeff Goldblum.
Yep.
The other thing that I really liked about this scene is when they're trying to get out, and Shane's blasting away with his shotgun at the window, and it's not working. How early in the series they set up this grenade and how nonchalant.
Chekhov's motherfucking grenade.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really well played.
Like Breaking Bad's ricin almost doesn't have anything on this grenade.
Yeah. That well placed grenade.
Yeah.
And the expression on Rick's face when he pulls that pin, he's like, what? Oh, I just did that. I got to get out of here.
That is kind of weird. Like,
I liked it.
Oh, really? I thought it
was... Yeah.
You do know how grenades work, right? You didn't have a plan for...
Yeah, but I feel like it's not a reality to him until he lets the thing go.
And more probably, if I'm being charitable, he is just on react, like, survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, I got this grenade, I need to pull the pin. Oh, shit, that means it's going to blow up now, and I need to get... Yeah, so I'll give that to him.
Yeah, yeah. That's really all I've got there, but
you know, I was wondering when we sat down to watch this and they showed the, you know, viewer warning graphic, blah, blah, blah. They don't do that for every episode. And I'm like, why did they do this? Because I don't remember this episode being particularly violent and it's relatively zombie-free. The last minute is pretty... I mean, they're pulling some Dead Island shit here.
Yeah.
There are heads being decapitated.
Mm-hmm. Well, it reminds me a lot of Shaun of the Dead, where they're running through the yard and they're just whacking zombies over the head.
It reminded me a lot of Dead Alive, because I watched you play a lot of that. Just running and, you know, you get the machete just right and it'd lop the head off.
Yeah, and you just run through a pack.
Yeah. Speaking of video games, the CDC explosion is one of the worst modern special effects I've seen in a big budget production.
Yeah, I really wish they had done that with like a physical model and just blown it up.
When they showed that long kind of medium range shot of the superstructure collapsing and exploding, I swear to God, it looked like a cutscene from like one of the early Command and Conquer games from like 1995.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It's like Tiberian Sun. Yeah. That was something from...
You expect Kane to walk out.
Yeah, that was the Tiberium refinery explosion.
Yeah.
I think they just recycled it, actually.
They might have. Yeah, I don't know why they didn't go with a physical model there. It probably would have looked way better.
Yeah, but it might have been expensive. It's getting to the point where practical effects are way more expensive. And in the grand scheme of things, 5 years into, let's say, a successful Walking Dead run, and they're wrapping it up and assuming everything else works, are you really going to remember that, oh boy, that explosion was bullshit?
And nobody stopped watching the series because the explosion sucked.
No.
So, yeah, you're probably right. So then the end of this episode is really, really good. And I actually like this episode quite a bit. It might be my favorite of the
pilot. Is the awfully good.
Yeah. It's my second favorite.
Clear second favorite.
Yeah. But the music that they play at the end.
There's a lot of bitching about it on the internet.
What kind of bitching?
I don't understand, because I feel like the internet and me with The Walking Dead, if I love an episode, they hated it. And if I hate an episode, they freaking love it.
I feel like the internet is mostly in it for zombies and action and that kind of stuff.
Well, it's a popular sentiment to say that, like, the Breaking Bad episode, Fly.
Yeah,
a lot of people think that that's bullshit.
I think it's one of the best.
One of the best, yeah. These, what do they call them, fish tank episodes?
Sure.
And also, they got away from the zombies, and unlike what happens some in season two, they're in a safe environment, and they actually got to explore the characters and what makes them tick, and we learn things about... Number one, the situation, and number two, the characters that we didn't know before.
Yeah.
Now, I guess season two would be if they stayed in the CDC for five episodes or six episodes, and we just saw scenes of them getting drunk and getting in, and like if Shane tried to rape Lori three or four times.
And then apologize three or four times.
Yeah, it's the same. It's like, okay, what the fuck? So I think these kind of episodes are great, and if they would do better job of exploiting the few moments of safety and civilization that these people do manage to find, everyone would be a lot happier with it.
Yeah. So the end of this episode where they're playing, I think it's Bob Dylan. I'm not sure what song it is, but it sounds a lot like Bob Dylan. Really powerful in my opinion, because now they're no longer safe. They're heading back out on the road. And maybe if it was Willie Nelson, they could have played On the Road Again. That'd have been a good song to put in there.
Right.
But I really felt this scene a lot, where they're just, everybody's kind of like resetting mentally and saying, okay, we're back out in this now. Let's get into gear.
Yeah. I was trying to find the actual song that they did play. I could probably go to AMC's thing and find it, but their website is organized terribly. Not conducive for me finding stuff.
Quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then that's all I got for the recap.
The building that's shown as the CDC is actually the Cobb Energy Center, which is a performing arts center in Atlanta. I thought it looked a little like liberal artsy.
Yeah.
It's got the kind of almost Sydney Opera like weird white concrete looping structures. Sydney Opera House, you know what I'm talking
about? They should have just blown that up.
The Sydney Opera House.
The explosion. Just do it in real life. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Have you seen the iPhone app, the action movie app you can actually shoot, you can take a picture and it'll shoot missiles.
I've heard of it.
It would have been hilarious if they just like...
We'll recap the scene.
Took a picture of the Sydney Opera House and used a special the action movie app and then filmed that with a digital camera.
Yeah. I'll put a video up on our site of that.
Anyway, I couldn't find a song. it's either Willie Nelson or
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan or someone else.
I'm leaning towards Dylan.
It's one of those three options. It's either Willie or
Bobby. And we're
going to
get so much flack for not knowing who this is or what song it is.
Email it, man.
Yeah.
Rip us a new one.
Send us some feedback.
It's not like we hold back, so.
Yeah, that's true. That's it. That's all I've got for this episode.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Do you want me
to? What was your overall take? You said you liked it second best.
And yeah, it's a very close second best. It's not like I thought the pilot was 10 times better than this.
Yeah.
And it might even just be that the pilot was a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And it just the opening scenes and Andrew Lincoln waking up and trying to figure all that and how much tension.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think the pilot is probably the most effective episode as a pure horror piece because it actually builds since where you're like, shit, this guy's going to get jumped.
Yeah, it's very tense.
Yeah. And
but I felt like this was a really good cap to the season because it, like I said earlier, sets up the fact that this is not going away.
Yeah, because you had up to this point this whole arc of where there's hope.
Yeah.
There's a refuge center in Atlanta that got dashed. You know, there's maybe this, there's maybe that. The CDC was, well, God, if there's going to be any place that's still up and running, it'd be the world headquarters of this central disease center or center of disease control.
And not only do we find that's busted, but all around the world, everybody
because
is down.
Since it is the world headquarters, they actually know absolutely that every place else is dark and gone to shit.
Definitely.
So this is the death of all hope as far as our survivors are concerned of getting a normal life.
All right. Do we want to do an outro and then maybe a little spoiler action after the music?
Yeah. What do we think about, before we do that, just as the season of a whole? I thought I was a little disappointed in the middle, but I was really pumped up for season two because of the way it's the strong finish of Wildfire and this.
Yeah.
Kind of similar to season two in that it started okay, disappointing in the middle, finished very strongly. I'm pumped up for season 2.5. Now that we've seen all of season one and recapped it, do you rank season one above season two or below?
Well, we haven't seen the end of season, the second half of season two.
All right,
but as far as
Season one and season two are similar in length.
Yeah, sure.
So let's just directly compare season two and season one and season 2.0.
I would say that season one is slightly better because it deals with all these pertinent zombie scenario issues. You know, like we're saying, what happened to the infrastructure? What happened to everything? It's kind of building hope and then dashing it. Whereas season two, it feels like, okay, the hope is gone. Now it's just a story of survival.
Mm-hmm.
And how are these people going to survive? And that's also interesting, but I feel like if they can pull it back towards, well, we need to figure out how we're going, like our long-term survival, not just our immediate survival.
Well,
they need a little bit more of that in there for season two to end it.
I also don't think that they knew that they were going to split this thing up into two when they made it.
Yeah.
Just think about like season two of Justified. Mm-hmm. If we had to recap season two up to like the sixth episode,
ooh,
we'd have been like, where the fuck is this going?
Yeah, and I don't like this much at all.
I think, compared to season one, season two is crap. But then the last half of season two made it the whole thing work.
Yeah.
And work well. So it's entirely possible. And Breaking Bad does that a lot, too. There was a point, I think, around episode 5 or 6 of Breaking Bad season 4, which is one of the best seasons of TV I've ever seen, where we were all going, like, where the hell is this going?
But to be fair, it never got to
tell it to the
frogs level.
It never got to some of the stuff we saw in season 2.0 of Walking Dead, where just so much wasted time.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen that much wasted time since, like, the prequel trilogy of Star Wars.
But that's why it's probably the best show on television, you know?
But I'm just saying that we might, when we see season 2.5 might just be freaking awesome.
Because
it's where it's downhill and pedal to the metal, and it's just going to be breathless. I'm hoping that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But as it stands, I prefer season one, and by a fair margin.
It's pretty close for me.
Honestly.
But yeah, season one is better, in my opinion.
Honestly think that if you did a Walking Dead apocalypse cut of season two, that it could be 90 minutes long.
You might be right about that. Not a lot happens there.
Right. I mean, I thought it was an indictment of season one that you got a cut that's 3.5 hours long and didn't
out of
really
a 5 hour
and didn't really lose anything. Well, I'm telling you what, you could, I bet you can make a 90-minute cut of season 2.0 and be very tight and very entertaining.
We'll see. Hopefully the guy who did The Walking Dead Apocalypse will also cut season 2.
You should Kickstarter, because I'd kick in. Oh, yeah. I'd kick in
at least
Blu-ray
a dollar
worth.
Or two.
Oh, how? No, shit, I'm going to give the man $30, Jim.
Of course. I'm kidding.
Just a buck or two.
All right. Take us out. Take us out, man.
If you'd like to keep up with the other stuff that Jim and I are doing, for example, we do a Breaking Bad podcast. We do a Justified cast currently. We also are starting Game of Thrones, Mad Men, all those casts
say,
on baldmove.com.
Man, we are ramping up with the podcast. We're about to jump into four different casts now.
I just look at the schedule. I'm going to be doing 4 recaps in a week for a 2-week stretch in April.
And most of the time, we'll be doing 3 a week.
And if you think I've been savage on shows before, if those shows aren't bringing their A game, I'm ripping them.
Yeah, so we really, we say it every week, but we do need your guys' support. Because this, when it gets into the forecast a week stuff, I mean, think about it. How would you do 3 hours of work 4 times a week?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from your regular job and everything else you got to do, you know?
Right.
So it's really like, you guys are keeping us going through this. And the more iTunes reviews we can get and the more feedback and stuff like that, that's going to keep us going through it.
Yep.
So we appreciate all of that.
And the way to get it to us is you can email us at watchingdead@baldmove.com. Follow us on facebook.com/baldmove and Twitter @baldmove to find out the second that our podcasts drop and to give us feedback, share links with us, cool stuff like that. A way that you can support us is also through your iTunes reviews, positive iTunes reviews and subscriptions that kind of raises our iTunes profile and our internet profile so we get more listeners. And you can directly support us by using our amazon.baldmove.com link. And again, if you're not familiar with the way affiliate links work, you don't get charged anything extra. Your shipping is the same great product, same great prices. Amazon just gives us a little tiny portion of their cut. Mm-hmm. We get a cut of their cut for referring you. And that goes to support our bandwidth. I mean, we're pushing terabytes of this stuff out a month.
Yeah.
It supports our website hosting. And, you know, our goal is to keep this absolutely free.
And sustainably so.
You know, if you have to listen to us for 2 minutes drone on about these little advertisements, that's the worst it's ever going to be because so far we're getting the bills paid. So we appreciate you guys doing that. And, again, you know, if you buy anything off Amazon, it's not like we want you to buy anything extra. If you're using it, please use amazon.baldmove.com.
All right.
And that's it.
That's it for the outro.
Except for spoilers, we're done with The Walking Dead for a couple weeks, and we'll see you.
Yeah, I think it comes back.
President's Day, like the
February
14th.
It's 14th or 17th? I can tell 14th you, is a Valentine's Day.
I think it's 18th, isn't it?
It might be. I'm not sure exactly. But 2 weeks, it's going to be back, so we're going to take a week off of Walking Dead and come back with Season 3, Episode 1. Season 2.5.
It comes back on the 12th.
February 12th. Okay. So we get...
weekend before Valentine's
just
Day.
Just barely 2 weeks off.
So there you go. Boys, if you want a good Valentine's Day gift, get Season 1 on Blu-ray for your baby.
Burn this to floppy. Get her the podcast. Wrap it up in a box.
And a bottle of wine and a box of chocolates.
Burn this off to a Sony mini disc.
And some fake blood.
Yeah.
There you go.
Should play it on our Walkman.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Let's get the spoilers.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. As always, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
We're back with the spoiler section. What do we have to talk about?
I don't have a lot, but I have an email about the infamous Whisperer, which is not exactly
Jenner.
A totally new thought, but it is a good place to mention it.
You mentioned that it might not actually be a whisper. It might just be Jenner.
Giving him a little slipperoo.
Yeah, giving him a little tongue action in the ear.
Passing him the pink bubble mint. The Bazooka Joe.
He just fills his ear with bubble gum. That'd be so disgusting.
I was talking about his tongue being the...
That'd be gross.
The grenade that you're about to use is going to be very loud. Let me stuff your ear canals with gum. to help protect your hearing.
Turn your right side to the explosion.
Anyway, Adam, one of our listeners, sent us a email a day ago on off-season, said, hey guys, he was listening to Pretty Much Dead Already, mm-hmm. which is one of the episodes, season two episodes, and we talked about Jenner. And he thought that maybe he told Rick that the government created the virus and unleashed it either by accident or on purpose. That would be interesting. He had other possibilities, said maybe he said everyone is infected. That makes sense because it would finally reveal that if you die without destruction of the brain during the apocalypse, you turn into a walker. I'd love for Kirkman to finally tell us how the hell this shit started. Please respond email or discuss this in your next podcast, as I want to hear your thoughts. Well, Adam, you're in luck because we are responding via podcast. What do you think, Jim?
You're going to have to read the two options again because I was looking up email as you were going.
Okay. One is that he told Rick that the government created virus mm-hmm. and unleashed it either by accident or on purpose.
Damn.
It's like a 12 monk. No, I don't. Is that to plot for 12 monkeys?
I don't know.
Bruce Willis was in it.
Yeah, know Brad Pitt as well.
or maybe he said that everyone is infected. Because the one of the leading theories, if you're
well, that would be
to
a blatant
one,
lie. He's talking to someone who isn't. So
no, but okay. Wait, let me unpack this. We do know that one popular theory going into season two was he told him that your wife's pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
That turns out either to be – it has to be
it
false.
It can't be true, yeah.
Because if it turns out later to be true, I'm going to call bullshit on the show because they – Andrew Lincoln had a perfect opportunity to tell exactly this in season two, and he didn't take it.
And he acted shocked.
I mean Rick. Rick yeah. did. So if they turn out to later to retcon that in, I'm going to be pissed. Number two, if the government made it and deliberately released it, I don't know if that actually gives an interesting twist on it. Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't see that plot going anywhere. What, are they going to march to the underground government bunker and kill everybody?
Right.
Like, take vengeance on right. the... yeah, I don't... It wouldn't matter.
Go to undead President Obama and, pee on his undead corpse?
I don't know, man.
It doesn't seem like there would be any satisfaction to that.
No. Definitely not.
What about the everyone is infected? Now, you said everyone's not infected. That's according to the canon of the comic book. And we don't know if the TV is going to follow this exactly. But mm-hmm. the comic book, everyone is infected.
Gotcha.
You're already infected. You die. Even if you die of an infected paper cut or you break your neck, you're going to come back as... Ooh, interesting. You're going to come back as a zombie. You break your neck... You're going to come back as a zombie that's a paraplegic, right? Or quadriplegic.
Yeah. Yeah. If you sever your spine, your spinal cord, sure.
All right. Just want to make sure. But you're going to come back regardless of how you die, even if you die of like stomach poisoning or food poisoning or.
And I actually like that option because that to me really spells out Jenner's hope, his lack of hope. Because if everyone is infected, what is the end game here? That everyone in the future who dies is going to have to be shot through the head immediately? Like, that's how we're going to dispose of our dead in the future?
I don't think that's a problem.
I mean, it's I guess it's not a problem for the long-term survival of humanity, but that does raise an interesting question, I guess. Like, are the people prepared to do that? Because we see in season two, Lori has a big problem. I think it's in season two.
Season one, she threw season a shit one. Fit about, you know.
We need to bury our dead. Right. Glenn was on that side. So, I mean, that could throw an interesting thing into it way down the line.
I do think that our funerary customs. I got this book called, it's called Vampirism, Death, and Burial. And it's a scientific look at the vampire myths and.
Yeah.
How a surprising amount of our funerary customs are derived from us being terrified of dead bodies. And not because, like, we think they're going to get up and walk around, but because dead bodies were a huge source of pestilence back in the day.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, burying them and putting them in boxes and doing all these things were to keep that contagion contained.
Sure.
So I could totally buy that, you know, 100 years into a Walking Dead future that putting a bullet in your loved one's head is as ceremonial as throwing the first handful of dirt on the coffin.
Sure.
You know, maybe instead of having a pallbearer.
Or an open casket funeral for him, you know?
Yeah, maybe instead of a pallbearer, you've got the gun bearer that puts the gun in the mouth and pulls the trigger. And
the 21 gun salute will just be 21
right
bullets to the head.
Yeah, so it's like, I actually think that's kind of a fascinating thing to think about. But yeah, I think that is the end game. You would do stuff like that until, you know, the contagion gets cleared.
And again, I don't think it's relevant to the show, you know? I mean, at most, it's going to cause a couple of people to disagree on how to dispose of the dead bodies, like way down the line. But I don't see it being relevant enough to make it this big cliffhanger thing.
Right.
Whatever he told him has to be
important, and there
has to be some sense of immediacy in it.
Let me give you a fourth option. They're just going to pretend like this never happened.
I hate that option. I hate it.
Yeah, but I think that's actually where they're going to go. There's different showrunner. It's just going to basically be like the Walt plot line of Lost.
No, man.
Like they paint themselves in the corner. The kid grew up too fast. And they're like, fuck it. We're just never going to mention it again.
Yeah. We're just going to have this character. His job is going to be to scream Walt for the next three seasons.
Walt!
I'm really going to be disappointed if they just drop that. It goes nowhere.
I kind of made peace with that we're not going to get a satisfactory explanation because maybe this is a little bit of spoiled grape because I really thought it was going to be Lori's pregnant. And now that that's not an option, I'm like, what the fuck could it possibly be? Because either these things honestly, Adam, I think you're right, but both of these explanations are kind of horseshit.
Yeah.
Whether it's government's like, I'm not going to be thrilled and everybody's dead. At this point, I feel like this is Kirkman's universe. They're not going to change that big of a rule to the zombie thing. That's also going to be anticlimactic. But then again, I've read the comics.
And I got to say, they're almost getting to the point where I don't care anymore what it is. Like, they couldn't reveal a good enough thing to make me go, awesome.
When is Rick going to fucking tell the rest of the group? Because both of these things, you could have told, he could have told him in all the time they wasted in season 2.0.
Exactly. Like,
there's many points where he could have said, you know, everybody, I've lost the ability to do Rick this late.
It's late, yeah.
He's basically like, you don't understand. Everyone is infected. I mean, he could have said that on any numerous occasions.
You don't understand. The government did it.
Right.
it's the
government.
Yeah, that doesn't matter, Rick. That doesn't matter.
The zombie apocalypse was an inside job.
Tower 7.
He's busy making the YouTube video.
Oh, boy.
Loose brains. If you don't have any friends that are 9/11 conspiracy nuts,
it's a trip.
You probably have no idea what we're talking about. And if you're a conspiracy nut yourself, please don't email me about it.
Yeah, oh God.
But,
all right, well, let's move into another correction on a spoiler that we dropped last episode, I think. And if I've already corrected this, I can't remember, so tell me. But basically, Mike emailed us, Mike D from the Beastie Boys, he emailed us like 2 weeks ago and said, this tweet about Michonne is gonna show up in the show near the end of season or at the end of season 3, episode 313. Mm-hmm. He corrected. He emailed in and said it's actually episode 213.
Okay,
so that really shifts the timeline because we were speculating, prison end of season 2. Now I'm thinking prison ASAP. I'm thinking they're off the farm.
Well,
soon.
I mean, that would follow, like I said, that would follow the books. I just thought they were stringing this along. And also,
Kirkman
said something this last week that they're going to be I think his actual words were there's going to be a shit ton of new characters.
Yeah, in season a bunch 2. Of characters 5. In the end. Yeah.
He didn't say shit ton?
He may have. I don't know.
I thought it was shit ton.
He curses, doesn't he?
I'm mad. He wrote The Fucking Walking Dead. I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the original title, The Fucking Walking Dead.
Yeah. Or just a fucking dead.
The fucking dead, yeah.
That's Peter Jackman.
Yeah.
Jackson,
yeah.
Not Jackman. I took Hugh Jackman and Peter Jackson. My God, it's 1 o'clock.
All right, let's end this shit.
All right.
All right, thanks everybody for listening. Join us next time, 2 weeks from now.
Yep, and join us on Justified in Progress, Mad Men in March, and Game of Thrones in April. The season 2 promo just dropped. I posted on our Facebook site.
Haven't watched
season
it yet.
Season 2 trailer for Game of Thrones is fucking amazing. I'm so cool. excited. It might be, I might even be a little bit more excited than Mad Men.
Wow.
It's been 18 months, man.
It's been a long time since Mad Men.
And Mad Men, the last season didn't end so strong.
Yeah, it's up in the air.
Major what the fuck moment.
Definitely, but they could pull it back. Oh, yeah. I want to see how they do it.
I have faith in the wiener.
And on that note, join us next time. I'll see you later.
All right, bye guys. And gals.